Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am grateful to be with you for this last broadcast in May, May 30th, 2021. We're going to be looking at freedom. I wrote a book many years ago entitled Freedom, the Essence of Life. And it was a book basically, so simple, and frankly, I'm not a fan of it anymore. I used to be. It was my ideals at the time. It was the ideal of life, liberty, and happiness through freedom. And this was something I tried to do to conform a little bit to society. And maybe make a few inroads here and a few inroads there. Now I'm just much more blunt. And I thought in terms of freedom as not just the ability to do what you want, which has never been my definition, but freedom to be able to see life in the bigger picture. And that the book does stand for. But I wouldn't recommend it. I really wouldn't. I think my commentaries are far more powerful now and representative of what it means to have an authentic spiritual practice. And so I would highly recommend those over the book. Anyway, we get very confused about freedom. I want to read a statement that I feel is the absolute definitive teaching of freedom by Epictetus, who was a Greek scholar. He was an interesting man. He believed in the brotherhood of mankind, that kind of thing. Here's what he wrote. And please understand, this is truly one of the most brilliant of all definitions I've heard. Freedom isn't the right or ability to do whatever you please. Freedom comes from understanding the limits of our own power and the natural limits set in place by divine providence. By accepting life's limits and inevitabilities and working with them rather than fighting with them, we become free. If, on the other hand, we succumb to our passing desires for things that aren't in our control, freedom is lost. So I get a lot of these emails from people regarding wearing a mask and the Trump era and that whole thing and make America great again and blah, 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 all of that. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, America has never been great. Never. It isn't again. America has never been great. It has been subpar when it came to racial experiences and the color of a person's skin, how we treat poor people, how we deal with those who are in the pursuit of happiness and become criminals due to that, the whole thing. We do terrible things, things that the American public don't even know about, but even now, if they did, they wouldn't care. They would think that the country is always right, as long as they kind of have a dictatorial kind of relationship with a man or a person in the office of president that, as I've heard, is a badass and kicks ass. That's what I've heard over and over and over again. It's confusing to people because they don't understand the difference between freedom and being patriotic. And to most people's mentality, the two are one. But I say to you, no, that is not true. Not at all. Being a patriot is having and expressing a vigorous support or devotion, according to the dictionary, for one's country. Well, who is one's country? I mean, look at the mess we're in. We can't agree on anything. We're split more than we ever have been. And we have had a president for the past 4 years who did nothing but cause mischief and separate people and say that that separation was their freedom and being patriotic only for the means of making him money. And the American public isn't very bright. You have to understand that. For those of you listening here, you have to be fairly intelligent. Most people are not smart at all. They want someone else to tell them what to do and explain to them that their biases are right and how they live in their bias and the contempt of it is the only way in which to live one's life and yada, yada, yada. So I get these emails. I do. And I probably get them more often than I would care to admit, telling me what a passive person I am, and I am teaching right or left wing, I don't know, some wing where I am disturbing them, telling them to believe in seditious ideals of communism and things like that. So anyway, I'm not. That's not my motive. But if you teach anything, let's say from Lhasa or even the Buddha, that there are many Americans that think that they're Oriental. And well, Lhasa was, but Buddha wasn't. But, you know, like I said, the American public is pretty darn stupid. You're not going to cure it. Racial bias and intellectual bias and biological bias are going to reign supreme. So that's just the way it's going to be. I'm going to read the questions. I'm going to try to answer them. I wasn't going to do this broadcast, but I sat back and I thought, geez, at 70 years old, what do I have to lose? I mean, really? Okay. So here we are. The first one comes from William, and he lives in Mississippi. I didn't know we reached that far. Okay. Only, why are you so against our country teaching your left-wing mentality and agenda? William, I don't know what that means. You think that I'm sitting here and I'm bright enough, even myself, to know what political place I belong in? Do you really think that that's what I'm doing, that I have some sort of agenda? William, if you listen to me, most people don't listen to me. They can't hear what I'm saying, and anyone who's speaking or talking about something that can't be rationalized or theorized or heard through the pedestrian mentality, then they are a communist or they are an agitator or something. I that's not my gig. You go into this email and you say that I don't sound very religious to you. I sound more political. I'm not political at all. I don't know my ass from a Republican or a Democrat. I don't know. I don't sit there and think in terms of, well, is this, you know, when I'm working on a radio program or something, is this going to be, you know, considered right wing or left wing? I don't think in those terms. I'm not a political person. Now, your ears may be political. Your ears may be social. Your ears may attribute what I'm teaching as to some political stance or party, but I'm not. What was Jesus? What was Buddha? What was Lhasa? What political stance did they have? I mean, Jesus said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, okay? And he stood before Pontius Pilate, and Pontius Pilate said, are you the Son of God? And he said, do you say this or do other men? He wasn't argumentative. He just wanted to know. Why do people have to fit some kind of peg? Some kind of hole, some kind of peg to fit the hole. Why is everything intellectualized? Why aren't we more fluid, spiritual, awakened, kind, loving? What is that? Is that, now I'm a liberal? I probably am in political terms. That I would probably agree with, but not a liberal without a foundation. Freedom is not the right or ability to do whatever you please, as Epictetus said. Freedom comes from understanding the limits of our own power and the natural limits set in place by divine providence, which means the way life is. The divine providence is you can't just stand up and fly. You'd have to have a machine, a mechanism. Your natural abilities aren't to fly. So, you know, we look at this life, this world, and we have our limits. Everybody has their limits. I have my limits. I can't just stand up and fly. So the object of the game is to see the bigger picture. And William, why am I so against? I'm against stupidity, okay? I'm against cruelty. I'm against ignorance. That's what I'm against. But I don't fight for it because there's no use in fighting for it. The way I fight for it is to reveal truths, reveal insights, reveal compassion and love, reveal answers and teachings that promote love in this world, love, life, livingness, not succumbing to desires for control, not succumbing to beliefs that have nothing to do with the meaning and the significance of a person's life. I am not fighting. I am urging the freedom to find out who and what you are, to really find out and to transcend this silly way in which we live our life, where we oppose each other. To me, if you're going to be patriotic, you don't oppose another person's point of view. You have to accept where they are. And if you can't do that, then to me, you're downgrading what we're supposed to be doing here. And the problem with the American system, the Constitution, is it allows stupidity to reign supreme. And that's what's done. That's what's been happening. We've had too much entertainment, too many movies, too many loud noises. We believe in the person who speaks the loudest and says the most cruel. That's what we believe in. And I can't change that. I don't even try to. So there you are. I'm sorry, William, that you can't hear what I'm saying. Maybe one day in some lifetime or another, you will have a teacher who will come upon you and you'll be able to hear. We know not what we do, and Jesus was very right about that. Please forgive me. Namaste. All right, the next one comes from Renee in North Carolina. What are the consequences for freedom? Seems to me, she says, that freedom has a price, Renee. The price for freedom is my ignorance. That's the price. I'd have to be willing to let go of the things that I think I'm so right about. Self-righteousness is one of the deepest, most difficult, most ugly aspects of human nature that there is. And most of us believe in that whole idea of being right and being righteous about our right. There is no right in this world. Everything leads to love. And our righteousness is what causes wars and hurts other people, and there are consequences for that. And in those consequences for those things, we learn, if we are alert and intelligent, what is going on within us, why we have the problems we have, and where the problems come from within us. And when we can correlate our actions, our interactions, as well as our outer, with the consequences that we face in our own world, our own life, then we connect to something that changes us. We start to see the light, as it were. But until then, we don't see the light. Until then, we only live in the darkness and the confines of our stingy little minds that are only thinking about themselves, selfishness, pride, vanity. And those are the guides upon which we live our life. I mean, there are a lot of people in this world, if you have not noticed, who need to be told what to do because they don't know what to do. They don't know how to live their life. Nobody helped them. When they were little, they had parents who were clueless and indifferent. They wanted, maybe some of them wanted the best for their kids, but the best for their kids wouldn't have been what the kids wanted for themselves at the time. The best for the kids, they would look at you and go, well, Mom, Dad, I don't want to meditate, or why are you telling me all this stuff about life? I just want to play. I just want to do what I want to do. And parents, because they have no inner discipline, nor do they have much of a insight into what being a parent is all about, just go, oh, okay, you just go play. All we want is to keep our kids out of our hair. That's about it. Well, we go marching on, smoking pot and drinking and doing all the ugly things we do, watching horror movies. And if you look at our history, it is ugly. It is absolutely ugly. Have you seen on Netflix the show Amendment with Will Smith? It is absolutely spectacular. And the things that he is showing us and that the documentary is showing us is that we have history all wrong. And we were given a history. We don't know what that is. History is a pack of lies that are agreed upon. I did not come up with that. Someone else did. And right now I can't remember, but it was in Oliver Stone's beautiful work on the documentary of the history of the world. They are a pack of lies, and they have to be agreed upon. I mean, anyone who thinks that Lee Harvey Oswald killed Jack Kennedy is crazy. There's far more to it than just a gunner, you know, shooting a president. There's far more to it. But we don't want to see that because we are biased. We don't want to believe that there would be maybe a coup de grace. Yeah. I love that, coup de grace. Anyway, we don't want to think that there's a coup going on. We just don't want to believe that because we think that is un-American. What is American? And you talk about it in your little diatribe here on me about what freedom is. Who is to say what America is? Jeff Daniels did it well in Network, and I did a whole commentary on that. Aaron Sorkin wrote it. It was absolutely brilliant and perfect. We don't do great things. This country doesn't do great things. We are in competition. We have bred competition, not only with other countries, but with each other. And this has not been good either. This has not been beautiful. This has not brought about compassion, love, forgiveness, cooperation, oneness with each other, an appreciation and love for brotherhood with each other. Not at all. What it's done, it's made us ugly. So people from other countries think America is so great. And then when they get here and they find out what a treasure trove of hate we have and the way we live our life against each other, they're surprised. Well, be surprised no more. It's been this way since day one. We don't want to know the truth. Jack was right. We don't want to know the truth. You want to know it? You can't take the truth, and we can't, because it crosses the line of our self-righteousness and the things that we think of as being greater than other people. I am not greater than any other person in this world. And humility is the way to, well, insight and true authentic freedom. Epictetus puts it beautifully: by accepting the limits and inevitabilities of working with life rather than fighting with life, we become free. You have to decide for yourself what you really want in this lifetime. You're not going to change this country. Nobody is. We're too divided and we're too doggone stupid to understand. Our stupidity lies in our greed and idealizing it, whitewashing it with terms like freedom, rights, amendments, things like that. First Amendment, it's garbage. Please forgive me, hey? Namaste. Everything in this world is understood through consciousness, not through intellect. Last one comes from Tina. She does not tell me where she lives. How can love exist in government? She just wrote that and sent it to me. Well, it's not politically sane to do love. You can only do what I call little moves towards love. Little move here, little move there. You can't be looking at this whole thing and thinking that in one fell swoop you can have love in government. Love in government is like your authentic heart facing the cruelty of your intellect, which believes in right and wrong and good and bad and up and down and in and out and all of that other stuff. So it just all depends on what you call love. Most people have no idea what love is, nor do they care to, and they already think they know. And love is anything that pleasures their body and promotes, shall we say, some kind of conquest financially. And that's about as far as we go. We don't think of it in terms of its authenticity and what it means to have a state of love within us. We don't care about that. We are not programmed for that. We are programmed to live out of our DNA and our genetics. So can there be love in government? No. No. There can be people of love in government, but how far they will go, I do not know. Ask Gandhi. Oh, maybe wrong guy. Gee whiz. And then there have been many others who have tried. Anwar Sadat tried. You're just going to find that love is not popular. Survival is the only thing that matters to the human being. Survival. This survival is not only physical and biological, but this survival is social and political. And so when you see these guys doing the ugly things they do, and if you can't look at Congress and not think about what a bunch of hoo-yahs they really all are, fighting amongst themselves about things that should be very clear to them, the well-being and the welfare of those who need help, as well as those who can render help to those people. If you can't see that, then nothing is going to teach you anything. There has to be at least a humanitarian effort in government to help people. That's it. If you don't have that, and that's the least of it all, then you're not going to find that you can serve humankind. Government should serve humankind, help people who can't help themselves or who are trying to help themselves and find themselves in consequences and situations that we could all help with. But instead, we're only interested in what helps us. And that, my friend, that is where all the problems lie. I'm out of here. Aren't you glad this is over with? All right, I did my duty to God and my country here. And I hope that it served you well. I'll be back on the air next week if I don't get struck down by a bullet or something. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.